I'm Hunter Schwarz.
And I'm Kate Bennett.
And this is Coverline, where politics meets pop culture.
Welcome back to our series, The Political Runway, where we're taking a look at the intersection of fashion and politics. In our final episode of the series, we're talking political fashion statements.
At the Golden Globes this year, the red carpet was a sea of black. Actresses and actors alike donned all black attire to bring awareness to the Time's Up campaign, an initiative founded to combat sexual assault and harassment. Of course, this isn't the first time that fashion has been used to make a political statement.
Last year, New York Fashion Week in many ways became ground zero for political fashion statements. From Mara Hoffman's runway show featuring the co-chairs of the Women's March to the Council of Fashion Designers of America's collaboration with Planned Parenthood, designers were inspired by the 2016 election and the Women's March that followed.
One of these designers was Prabal Gurung. Prabal launched his first collection in 2009, and since then, his designs have been worn by Michelle Obama, Lady Gaga, the Duchess of Cambridge, and Wonder Woman herself. In 2017, Prabal ended his show at New York Fashion Week with slogan t-shirts that featured quotes like, "Our minds, our bodies, our power," and "The future is female."
We wanted to talk with Prabal about what it's like to design for what he calls the thinking man's sex symbol, what inspired him to take a political stand during his 2017 runway show, and how he plans to continue to use his platform to express his political and social beliefs. Here's our conversation with Prabal Gurung.
Prabal, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
One of the things we want to talk about, and we're just sort of in the crux of this very political season, of course, and you've really gotten involved, and I have to say, seems like you're sort of at the top of the heap of fashion designers who are using what you do as a way to affect change and send a message. And, you know, you've discussed this before, and I'm just curious, what's that been like for you?
You know, for me, as an immigrant who moved here 18 years ago and with, you know, just a dream of coming to America and pursuing my passion of design and making a living out of, you know, what I love, what my passion, basically. And to see, you know, living the actual American dream and just to see it, like, kind of in last year, having to question that, having to question the whole integrity and the whole very fabric of what America is made of, like, and what, as someone from an underdeveloped country and developing nation, and having lived in, you know, born in Singapore, I grew up in Nepal and India, and I lived in London, Australia before I came here, knowing no one, with just this idea and notion that I too could really, you know, have a passion, work really hard, and make a living. And that's what happens in America. And it did happen to me. Don't get me wrong, it did happen to me. Mm-hmm. But to see at the same time in last year, rest of the people who are like me, who have similar ideas and dreams, and having them have to question it, you know, it's been not only that, but it's just the unfolding of, like, in this, everything that I stand against, whether it's, you know, racism, whether it's misogyny, whether it's, you know, bigotry, discrimination, all that stuff that is coming out in forefront, you know, it initially came as a shock, and then now I'm understanding how, you know, how much of a bubble I was living in. And so it's been an awakening. It's been an awakening for not just me, for my group of friends, for people within my social circles and outside across the globe. You know, and especially in our industry, I would say, for the longest period of time, we were, you know, talking about the next color of the next season, and is the hemline 2 inches longer or 2 inches shorter, or, like, you know, we were talking about all the trends possible, like, is the torn jeans in or not, you know? And mm-hmm. Now all of a sudden we are talking at a dinner table or, like, social dinners and everything that we go to. Now all of a sudden everyone is asking, what can we do? How can we do? Why are we doing it? And all this stuff. So it's been, while the, you know, the negative side of it is, like, you know, I would say the sadness that comes with this apparent and blatant, I would say, discrimination and misogyny that the current, you know, government kind of encourages, to then to the flip side to, like, and all of a sudden everyone is engaged. And really, I think this particular situation, a year, has really questioned our integrity, the moral of our being, and just being like, okay, what is it? Who are we? What can we do? And that's an interesting conversation. So both good and bad.
Well, yeah, and you've done a lot of political pieces recently, and I'm just wondering, when did that start? When did you first realize that fashion can be used to make a political statement?
From a very young age. I would say, you know, like, I remember from day one, I launched my collection, my first collection, in fall 2009. You know, I interned at Donna Karan, and I worked with Cynthia Raleigh, and I became worked at Bill Blass as a design director. And then I launched my collection in fall 2009. I went on unemployment and, you know, took a little bit of savings, whatever I had, and launched my collection. And that's how it started. It started very small and started to grow. And my first collection in itself, they had, you know, one of the interviewers had asked me, so who is this girl? Who is this woman that you're designing for? And I said, it's a thinking man sex symbol. Like, you know, at the time I was talking about like this woman who's powerful, who's, you know, aware of the space that she occupies and the relationship that she has with the world. She is someone who is feminine and a feminist. You know, that the idea of feminism and femininity was a conversation I started in, I would say it's been 8 years now, 8 years ago. I've always been a proponent of it because I grew up with a single mother who brought us up in a country like Nepal, which is not an easy thing to do. And, you know, I've always understood and have been aware of power of women and power of, like, you know, the lack of equality that, you know, that was blatant and apparent in my part of the world, and then coming to America and to see that kind of stuff happening here. So I'd always been talking about it. You know, I would say the couple of seasons with the T-shirts and everything that I've put the slogan T-shirts out there on the runway, you know, everyone says it's a political thing. It's, for me, these are not political issues. These are more human issues, to be completely honest. You know, I came from last year around this time, I was at the march, Women's March, and I went along with my friends, and I still remember that feeling, like, walking along with this, like, hundreds of women and my friends and men, and we're feeling like, oh my God, this is what a protest should look like. And I believe, I wear this sweatshirt that I always, you know, it's a reminder, a sweatshirt and a T-shirt says, love is the resistance, you know. I keep on reminding myself because that is what I witnessed. They all came together. It took hundreds and thousands of women to come together to show the world how a peaceful protest is done. And that, to me, was so inspiring. And all the slogan tees were things that I'd, you know, heard people chanting or, like, people wearing. And it became a topic of, you know, conversation for me. I mean, you know, I grew up in a family where we talked about religion, politics, all the social issues and everything, books that we read and, you know, the dates that we went out with. It was all, you know, encompassing everything. And we were never afraid of it. When I came to America, I realized I would go to my friends' houses for dinner and everything. And then, you know, politics and religion was not necessarily something that you talk about unless you all have a similar view. And so that was really disturbing for me for the longest period of time. So I've always been engaged. I've always been a concerned person. Like, and especially when you grow up in a country like Nepal, where you see poverty as such close proximity. And, you know, I was lucky enough to be, privileged enough to be born into a family that can, you know, give me education and everything. So you're always aware. You're always aware of the inequality that, you know, happens in the world.
Yeah, so it sounds like politics always been part of your work, even if it's not explicit.
And also, fashion might be, people might not think of it as sort of a harbinger of politics or news, but, you know, mini skirts and exposing erogenous zones. I mean, for many decades in America and around the world, fashion has sort of led the way on some of these political statements. Do you look at some of your counterparts, your colleagues, and hope or wish that they perhaps use that same voice that you're using or jumping off point with fashion? To express this, or is it, you know, how do you feel about what's going on in fashion globally?
I do. You know, like, I mean, here's the thing. There's very few of us, and some of us who are very vocal about it and using our platform, which becomes our social media channels like Instagram and everything. And also the biggest platform that we all have is the runway, you know, where millions of eyes are on us. And that's where the biggest opportunity for us to say something, you know. We designers are storytellers. We tell stories about the product, the inspiration, women, and everything. And so, you know, for me, before this, politics came into, like, let's say, en vogue with fashion, it was always about me trying to start a conversation about what beauty looks like. You know, beauty no longer, I mean, I refuse to believe that the definition of beauty in the fashion industry that was defining it was just going to be a size zero, tall, white, blonde hair, blue-eyed girl. That can't be just the only narrative, and I refuse to do that. So, you know, what I started doing was on my runway, I had models of colors, diversity, ethnicity, not only that, sizes. You know, which is like the biggest issue right now in fashion. So I started bringing in, like, you know, curvier models, someone like Ashley Graham, Candice Huffine, and everyone. And not only that, I had, like, you know, trans models, you know, who are, you know, every part of the, like, I'm a women's wear designer, so they're part of the, you know, conversation. So I started doing that because I wanted to challenge the gatekeepers of fashion and what they considered beauty was, and also the world and the audience, because the fashion industry has been feeding them this one-dimensional idea of beauty. And, you know, so that has always been my conversation. And then do I wish, like, you know, that more designers would be doing it? Of course, you know, because I think fashion oftentimes, and sometimes rightfully, gets a cliched notion of being just, like, you know, fabulous and frivolous. While that some of it is true, and I would say a lot of it is true, but there are a lot of us also who are equally interested in the merits of a person, the, you know, substance behind style. So, you know, it's very much fashion, I think, can lead the way. Like, for instance, like in this, whether it's Women's March with the, you know, the pussy hats, the pink pussy hats, and to now at the Golden Globes with, you know, all black dresses and gowns. I think, you know, it becomes such a, like, fashion always gets, how do you say, sidelined, but it's always in part of the conversation, always. What you wear, whether you decide to wear something, you know, seductive, or whether you decide to cover yourself, fashion is always kind of a tool to express who you are, what you want to tell the world. And I always say it's a little bit of a window to your soul, you know? So I think we are, if not the main focus, definitely part of the conversation. And I'm happy to be part of this, especially with this, you know, like Golden Globes was, I would say, the perfect example of what fashion can do.
Yeah, well, let's talk a little bit more about that. What was that like dressing? Because you dressed some women for the Golden Globes.
Yeah, I dressed Kerry Washington.
What was that experience like?
It was, you know, I was fortunate enough to dress two powerful women like Kerry Washington and Issa Rae, who I admire and love. And, you know, I love their work and what they stand for, how vocal they are. They're everything that I get excited and inspired by. And so when I had the opportunity to dress them, it was, you know, I felt really fortunate because, you know, there are a lot of us out there and, you know, all the celebrities and all these actors and actresses, they have a plethora of choices, but they decided to go with me. And this particular moment was important because to be part of this was important because all these women are coming together using fashion as a tool to show solidarity and to tell the world enough is enough, you know, and to show the world that, you know, the future is definitely female, that collectively they are here to stay and that we need to listen. And that's what I keep on telling all my friends, and especially guys, we all, you know, this particular moment for us, for men, is to listen to women.
After the break, we asked Prabal about his reaction to the 2016 presidential election and how he'd feel if asked to dress First Lady Melania Trump. Stay tuned. you worked very closely with Hillary Clinton, supporting her campaign and her candidacy in 2016.
Yes.
So what was that like for you when she lost? Because it feels like you're forging ahead with a lot of those beliefs that she had in our platform. Mm-hmm. Did you recover? Did you sort of, did it take you down? Did it sort of foist you ahead? How were you with that?
I mean, you know, it was, I would say she was someone who represented a change for all of us in so many ways. And for the first time, you have to understand, when you come from places like where I come from, like Nepal and India, and, you know, where it's such a patriarchal society. And I mean, America is in so many ways too, but especially there, when, you know, when your friends, when they get married and they're constantly told, oh, you're a woman, or you're a daughter-in-law, or you're a girl, you can't think like that. Your place is here. When you grow up with that kind of environment and when you see it happening, a position for a woman, a seat at the table becomes a big thing for anyone who's sensitive and anyone who's aware. So Hillary Clinton represented that for me, particularly, not just for America, for the rest of the world, that, you know, there could be a possibility for a woman to dream about the biggest job out there in the world, like, let's say, quote unquote. So when she lost, it was like death. We all felt it. We all felt it. I think it was at the Javits Center. Like, I was there, and it felt like the biggest blow, biggest loss. And we all felt it. We were all in mourning, you know, the next day after. But, you know, as life is filled with ups and downs, you just pick yourself up and hope for the best, right? Though I was very wary, and, you know, like, I was like, all right, let's give him a chance. Maybe, hopefully, things that he was talking about during his campaign trail isn't something that he follows through. But, you know, so that's what I always liked. I'm always optimistic and hopeful. But, you know, unfortunately, it's gotten worse, I feel. But so that's how we felt.
Did exposure to Michelle Obama and you know, working with her in that administration, did that help you understand politics? I mean, it sounds like you're incredibly knowledgeable about politics and world issues, but did that even sort of drive it home? Did that focus you more on the political climate?
You know, it did. It made me understand the power of a position. You know, it made me understand, yes, she is the first lady and she has such a worldwide attention. It also made me understand that how individually we all have, especially now in this digital age, if you're on social media, Instagram or Facebook, you have followers, you have a platform and an audience, and how it becomes a responsibility to speak up, to do the right thing, and, you know, have integrity and follow through. You know, she was someone that I'd always wanted to dress. And it was when it happened, you know, like, I, you know, it was something like really gratifying. I knew it was kind of like a validation that I was on a right path. But more than that, also, it also gave hope to like a lot of people back home in Nepal, around the globe, you know, that, you know, this American dream that I had is also a possibility. It's no longer just a thing that you read in a paper or watch in a movie, you know? So it was really hopeful. That's what they represented. That's what she represented. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to be invited to her 50th birthday, to her their last, you know, hurrah at the party. And also, I was fortunate enough to take my mom, who's been the biggest source of inspiration for me, and my niece to this Girl Rising event that they were doing at the White House with Meryl Streep and all these girls from around the world. So, you know, this whole idea of feminism and femininity, you know, style with substance, she represented completely, wholly, fully. You know, she embraced us American designers. She showed the world what it means to be America's first lady. And, you know, she's intelligent. She's smart. She has all the merits to be a leader. And then, you know, yet she has the grace and everything to, like, you know, make you feel like you're her best friend. And also, she was a concerned, you know, caring person. And she represents everything what I believed America can be.
So what is your opinion on dressing or not dressing first ladies based on their husband's politics? Like, would there be a situation where you would dress Melania Trump?
You know, I haven't been asked to dress her. You know, as a brand, we don't You know, we don't stand for discrimination. We stand against it. We stand against misogyny. We stand against everything that this current government stands for, you know, led by her husband. So if she wants to be dressed by me, I would like to believe that silently but surely that she's showing solidarity with what I believe in, what we all believe in, you know. And if that opportunity, with that awareness of mine, she wants to be dressed by me, then I'll welcome the challenge. But right now she hasn't.
So New York Fashion Week is here.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any political statements planned for Fashion Week? Or can you give us a sneak peek or let us know what's in your head? Because people are going to be watching.
You know, fashion is, you know, the beauty about fashion is about it's a constant surprise and constant change, right? And that's what's new, what's next is what drives fashion and our industry. So, you know, I mean, it would be rather redundant of me to do another, you know, like a show with like an finale ending with T-shirts. You know, I think we got to move on. We got to talk about issues. I think it was two seasons ago when I did that. Like I ended with this all these, you know, a slogan T-shirts with the song Imagine. It was right after the election. It was a year ago, actually. Mm-hmm. So what happens is, you know, what we've been, that was an idea of like me trying to tell the fashion industry and the world that, listen, we are also feeling it. We are also feeling the loss. We're also part of this. We want to be part of this. So we've done so many things after that. As a brand, you know, we raised money not only for like, you know, our foundation back home in Nepal, but to like an ACLU, like in Planned Parenthood. Like we continue to do that. We have continued to have a conversation. We are constantly involved in, I would say, conversation about whether it's politics, whether it's about, you know, conversation of inclusion, seat at the table. Like we are part of that. How it's going to unfold, it's going to be a surprise. You know, some seasons it's going to be fully blatantly out there. Some seasons it's not. You know, like I think what we want to be able to do as a designer is not have just like one point of view. I took the runway to start off like the bigger message. And, you know, it's moved on to our social media. It's moved on to things that we put out there, women that we dress. That becomes a bigger conversation for us.
Right. I'm curious, what was your favorite? Did you have a favorite Michelle Obama outfit?
Oh, my God.
I know it's like picking children, but you know, something that you dressed her in that either sort of started that conversation or you said, yeah, that's it.
There are two. I'll pick two. One was the first one when she, you know, like what had happened was right when I launched my collection, you know, we had talked about. So I was fortunate enough to be immediately worn by Demi Moore, Rachel Weisz, you know, like actresses like that. And mm-hmm. So I'd called my mother in Nepal and I was like, oh, my mom, like, you know, guess what? Like, and Zoe Saldana had worn it. Demi Moore had worn it, da, da, da. Like, and I was like talking to her. I was like kind of showing off to my mother, you know, I mean, her approval means a lot to me. And she was like, that's great. But, you know, the First Lady of America, Michelle Obama, is someone you need to consider because the women that you talk about, she represents that. So when she wears it, let's talk. That's what she said. Literally a year later, I was in Paris, and she wore this one particular, this organza floral dress, and I saw the picture. I picked up my phone and I called my mother and I said, Mom, let's talk, you know? And so that was, because that was such a special moment for me, because when I left Nepal to study fashion, to pursue my design, you know, desire, a lot of people back home in Nepal were like, oh, that's a good hobby, but what do you really want to do? You know, that was the thing. Because, you know, men were supposed to be doctors, engineers, or, you know, if you're not that great, accountants, or like, you know, something like that, you know. And becoming a designer was a bored housewife's job, you know. So that kind of validated, like, and that was like, actresses are there, that's fine. But when she wore it, it kind of like, you know, all right, this is great. And then the second time around was like a red jersey gown. I love red. It's my favorite color. And I saw this picture. She looked, you know, it was a correspondent dinner. And like, you know, as a, you know, when you come to America, you hear about those, you know, and you hear about, oh, my God, that's, you know, it's politics and it's glamour all coming together in one night, I feel, you know. And so to be part of that, I still remember it gave me chills because I was like, how is it possible? If I could tell my, you know, 14-year-old self like this was going to happen, I would never believe it. If I have told, forget about my 14 years, if I had told a year ago that this was going to happen, you know, I wouldn't believe it myself, you know. And so it was all I ever wanted to do was make a living out of, you know, pursuing my passion of designing. That was it. That's all I wanted to do. I wanted to live this American dream.
Well, I certainly remember that red dress. I was there that night, and I thought she looked spectacular and really stood out in that Washington Hilton ballroom. And you just kind of went, wow, you know, that's a woman who knows what she's wearing and doing. We want to thank you so much.
Of course.
We look forward to seeing what's on the runway for you. So thank you so much, Prabal. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it, too. Thank you.
That was fashion designer Prabal Gurung.
If you want to see some of our favorite looks by Prabal, including that gorgeous red gown Michelle Obama wore to the 2010 White House Correspondents' Dinner, head over to our Insta for a full photo gallery. We're at CNN Coverline.
And if you like this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts and click the subscribe button. While you're there, leave us a rating and a review and tell us what topics you'd like to hear about in future episodes.
And don't forget, you can subscribe to our Coverline daily newsletter. It's the perfect mix of politics and pop culture, and it'll become your favorite lunch date. You can find us at cnn.com/coverline.
This show is produced by Amy Eason and Ariel Sachs, with additional support provided by Emma Sislowski.
That's a wrap for our series, The Political Runway. Thanks for listening to Coverline. We'll see you next time.